Welcome back to the Sprinkler Nerd Show. I'm your host, Andy Humphrey, coming to you from the city of Salty Lakes. Salty Lake City, USA, the city of Slut. Slut, USA, SLC, Salt Lake City, Utah. Just landed here today, and I'm going to make a quick trip up to visit OpConnect and then spend some time with my son, who goes to the University of Utah, hang out with my good buddy Chris Wright, VP of Sales for Baseline, have a fun St. Paddy's Day weekend, drink some green beer, perhaps go skiing. In any case, I've got a few minutes here while driving north on I-15 and just thought I would do a little brain share, kind of just share some thoughts that are on my mind this week, particularly because I've had some fun conversations as it relates to soil moisture sensing and new technology and collecting data and what it can do for us. So let's roll the intro and get right into the episode.
If you are an irrigation professional, old or new, who designs, installs, or maintains high-end residential, commercial, or municipal properties, and you want to use technology to improve your business to get a leg up on your competition, even if you're an old-school irrigator from the days of hydraulic systems, this show is for you.
This whole thing is just, it's kind of just a big old experiment. This whole thing of life, this game of life, this whole thing of business, your job, what you do every day, it's kind of just a big old experiment. Is there a right way to do something? Is there a wrong way to do something? Are there many ways to do something? Do you think that what you know is what you know? I would agree that what you know is what you know. So how do you change what it is that you know? Maybe experiment, maybe try something. This whole thing is just an experiment. And those are some of the kind of top level high thoughts that come to my mind as it relates to both technology, but more importantly, sort of the specifics of soil moisture sensing. And I've had a lot of really interesting conversations recently about soil moisture sensing. And it's very fun for me because what I like most, I think, about using soil moisture sensors is being able to connect the dots as it relates to trying something new. You know, changing that runtime from 28 minutes to 35 minutes. Does it make a difference, a measurable difference? Without being able to have eyes in the soil, there's no other way to know. And so some of the conversations I've had recently in regards to soil moisture sensing have really been about understanding what the data is telling us. How quickly a soil dries out, or the exact opposite, how much moisture or water does a soil hold? And after a significant rain event, what does that look like in the soil? If the moisture doesn't rise significantly after a significant rain event, then perhaps the soil is already at the limits of what it can hold. And so sometimes we have a thought in our mind of what we think is happening. What we think is happening during the rain event or after the rain event. And without being able to have any data to close the loop and validate our assumptions, and I guess really that's what some of these new sensors are able to do, is validate our assumptions. Without validating our assumptions may or may not be accurate. And it seems that, or it could be that oftentimes we operate from a set of assumptions that could possibly not be true, but because we have no way of actually measuring them, understanding them, seeing them, that we over time sort of begin to convince ourselves that even certain ways of doing things might be the right way of doing something because there isn't anything else that's come across that we've tried that could convince us otherwise. And my first sort of thought as it relates to soil moisture sensing, well, it's two parts. Number one is that somebody's first thought generally is, okay, great, this soil moisture sensor. Now, how do I get it to automatically adjust the controller? And it's interesting that that's a first thought that people have. And I think it's because we live in the sort of the box of irrigation. And I would say that, yes, that would be great. And there are many ways you can use the soil moisture data to adjust and control or start or stop or pause or suspend an irrigation system. However, there's more that the data can teach us to make us all better irrigators than just looking for the quick answer of suspending the irrigation system or controlling a zone. And so my recommendation to people who are just getting started with soil moisture sensors is to put them in the ground. Look at the data, and not only look at the data, let's say right now in this instance and what it is telling us right now, but what does it tell us over time? Because a data point all by itself is rather, it doesn't actually tell us much all by itself. We have to compare data over time. We have to look at the frequency of the data over time to understand what it's telling us. So for instance, if the soil moisture sensor tells us 33%, we actually don't know what that means. You can make some possible generalizations if you know things like the soil type and the structure and the compaction and the holding capacity, etc., etc. But without any other information, just the value of 33% all by itself is not very relevant. Now, if you were to look at it's 33% today and next week at the same time, the value is 45%. Now, 33% is relevant. 33% can now be compared to 45%. So now we know, last week when the measurement was 33%, that was drier than 45%. Interesting. I wonder how high the value, I wonder how much moisture this soil can hold. And now the values become relevant to each other based on the holding capacity or based on the soil's ability to hold water and what that upper value looks like. And you can look at it the opposite way. If it's 33% today and we came back in a week and we took another measurement and it was 25%, now we know the soil can be drier than 33% and it must have been fairly wet when I took the first reading. So with that in mind, my first sort of observation with soil moisture sensing is to look at the data over time. One day is not enough. Let me take that back. It could be enough. If you know your soil is dry and you put a moisture sensor in the ground and then you pour a bucket of water over it and you wait a few hours, okay, that might be relevant, but you need to wait even longer. So if you were to watch and look at the data over at least 1 week, and you know that the area in which it's placed has had time to both dry out and it has also had water applied to it, either from an irrigation system or from rain, Mother Nature. If you've had wet and dry over a week or two, now you can look at what that looks like over time on a graph. And that information, looking at the pattern of the soil moisture, is a pretty significant observation. It can tell you quite a bit. And I think that kind of looking at the data like an experiment, you know, this is all just, as I kind of started out, this is all just an experiment that having an experimental mindset can be helpful because it can keep you in a place of wondering and curiosity versus being in a place of, I don't understand, I don't think this is working, this is a pain in my ass, I don't want to do this anymore. That is one approach that people can have, instead of saying, huh, I wonder why after this significant rain event, why didn't the moisture go up like I thought it would? Huh, that's interesting. And just keeping thoughts like that in the back of your mind, or the front of your mind, wherever you can keep it, where you won't forget, where you can use it to learn, I feel is really important, because these types of tools, although they have been around a long time, access to the data really hasn't been available in the way that it is today. So if you were to put a soil moisture sensor in the ground today, you can now have readily available access to the data, potentially down to the minute if you wanted, or at least by the hour, and you can look at it over a day, a week, a month. You can look at it over the same irrigation cycle. What does a 45-minute cycle look like? And it doesn't always look the same. And having these tools to sort of complete the loop and compare the data is a really, really good learning tool. And I kind of like to look at it. I was messaging with a friend of the show, actually, here today. And what first came to my mind, he was asking me some great questions in this regard. He's got one of our hex sensors, one of our hexes in the ground. And, I think there was an air pocket when he first installed it. So it wasn't quite reading accurately because there were some air gaps around the sensor. And in any case, what it reminded me of when we were talking was that there's this kind of, if you keep an open mind where it's not working, or it's black or it's white, or it's this or it's that, and you sort of approach these new tools, and you approach new technology, and you approach new data, and you use them to make some observations, just no different than being in a laboratory and doing an experiment and using something to measure the experiment. You can make some observations. You can wonder, what are you observing? Is it what you thought you would observe? You can kind of ponder the observation and potentially make some theories about why it is that you're seeing what you're seeing, and you could try to make some changes, and you could observe again, and then you could learn again. Then you could try again, and occasionally in this process, you have some aha moments. I'll give you one example. Let's say you were going to use a soil moisture sensor to start watering at exactly the same threshold. Doesn't matter what the number is, you're gonna start watering at exactly the same depth. And the analogy I would say is that it would be similar to filling up your vehicle when the light comes on. If you have a 20-gallon tank and you fill up exactly when the light comes on, you know, within a few miles, you'll generally put in about the same amount of fuel. Let's just say 20 gallons, because the start point was the same. It was when the tank was empty. So let's just say that that was like running a 45-minute cycle when the soil was dry. Well, what if the 45-minute cycle on some days only gets the soil half as wet as a 45-minute cycle on other days? And this is real shit. This is how it works. 45 minutes doesn't always apply the same amount of water. Why is that? Well, maybe it's windy. If it is very windy, and it happens to be windy right now, I'm driving north on I-15, actually going to visit OpConnect. This is the second podcast I've recorded in a vehicle driving to visit OpConnect, and there's a high wind warning, which made me think of this example. If there's a high wind warning and your sprinklers come on, that precipitation will not reach the soil moisture sensor the same way it does if there is no wind. Same amount of runtime, different amounts of water hit the sensor. And when you look at that data, you can clearly see how wet the soil became after that cycle. And it wouldn't match up. So that's just one example of seeing data that you might not expect, trying to understand what could be going on, making an observation, thinking about it, wondering about it, making a theory, testing it, trying again, and having an aha moment. And without these types of tools and without this type of data, this wouldn't be, you couldn't do this. You could make some theories, but you wouldn't be able to prove your theories to see if the observation and what your theory is about the observation is true, because there's no way to measure it. And so to me, the first step, the single greatest opportunity with these tools is to learn, is to use them like an experiment for you to learn and grow and improve. Let's just say in this case, improve as an irrigator. And there's probably many, many examples we could take outside of the irrigation world, but hey, this is the Sprinkler Nerd podcast. So my first thought is, okay, what would it look like if every irrigator in the United States or in the world tomorrow had a soil moisture sensor and they went and stuck it out in the landscape and they set a watering schedule like they normally do, and they came back here. Well, they didn't, you don't have to come back. They looked at the results after 2 weeks. I guarantee you, everybody would learn something. The speed at which we can learn and become better irrigators would improve so rapidly if we just started deploying these tools. Not to immediately connect to a controller and automate the system, because it's kind of like, in order to do that, first you sort of have to know what you're doing, because these tools aren't just, they're not magic wands. You don't put a magic wand soil moisture sensor in the ground and press a button and then it just magically works. Kind of have to know what you're looking at. And the only way to know what you're looking at and how it works is to start playing with it or experimenting with it. So I think that's really what I wanted to share with you today, is just my thoughts on using technology and these tools that are becoming available. Use them in the business, in your business, but use them as an experiment to try to learn something, so that you can understand how they work and how to make that tool work for you. And I think that if we can make technology affordable and readily available so that it can be easily obtained and deployed by every irrigator, the rate at which we would improve even just our basic scheduling would be, we would never see the rate of improvement like we would if we started deploying these tools right away and learning. So that's all I have, guys. Thanks again for listening to the Sprinkler Nerd Show. Appreciate connecting with all of you. If you feel like you want to reach out, my cell phone is always open. You're welcome to send me a text message. My number is 208-908-3229. And love connecting with you guys. Thanks so much for all the fantastic questions that you asked, for being curious, inquisitive, willing to learn, experiment, take a few risks, and improve what you're doing. So with that, have an awesome weekend. We'll catch you next week on another episode of the Sprinkler Nerd Show. Bye-bye.